And it's from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And to all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Excuse me. I have had a bit of a cold all week, so if my voice goes a bit weird, don't worry about it. I think we've all got it. Yeah. I think we can all agree that babies are something special. Whether we love them or just tolerate them, you can't ignore the fact that there's something really special about babies. I was fortunate to be present at the birth of all my four children, and I can never forget what it was like to see them at their birth. There's a feeling and an experience that nothing else can quite match. There's just something captivating about a new life. The innocence and the dependence of that little young life strikes at our emotions. We look at their small fingers, we laugh as they yawn, we're amazed as they try to walk, and we're so proud of that first spoken word. Let's face it, babies do strange things to us. It's amazing. You could take a perfectly mature adult and put them in front of a baby and they start to do unusual things and become very strange. They begin to talk silly. They'll all twist their faces into all sorts of contortions and make faces at the baby. Faces they would never make to another adult, just to try and get that baby to look at them and smile. Basically, we're hooked on babies. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why Christmas affects us the way it does. The cuteness of a new baby, the story of shepherds and wise men, stars and angels, all add up to a special appeal for Christmas. The fascination with birth, fresh new life, innocence, a little human being that's almost toy-like, they're all so marvellous. There are promises from God, hope is in the air, and they're messages of joy. But there is mystery here as well, baffling mystery. I can't imagine what it meant for the eternal God, who created the cosmos and all the life which is in it, to become a helpless infant. It stretches the mind beyond limits. It's easier for us to think of a child of promise in the cradle than it is for us to imagine the Christ, who is God and rules in heaven, being born into the world. We understand babies, but we don't understand God becoming a baby. We like cute, but we avoid profound mystery. We prefer to think of the crib rather than the cross. The world likes to think about a child born on earth rather than Christ's return to earth. And somehow, his helplessness appeals to us more than his omnipotence and his deity. It's good to enjoy the charm of Christmas, and it somehow takes us back to the Christmases we enjoyed as children. We try to make each Christmas even better for our children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But we also have to grow up in order to understand the mystery of Christmas. We have to be mature and understand the importance of what is really going on. We have to allow Christ to grow up as well. He can't stay forever a baby. So the first point I want to make this morning is we need to grow up in our faith so that we can realise who Christ is. In Ephesians 4 verse 15, the Bible encourages, "In all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." Christmas is a wonderful thing. It's a good beginning. But at some point in time, we have to let Jesus out of the cradle. We have to allow him to grow up, and we must grow up with him. We have to go from thinking of him as a baby and understand that he is God, who came and wrapped himself in human flesh for a time. We have to go from wonder to worship. We have to understand that there's more to the story than a baby in the hay. In that cradle lay the hope of ages. In that cattle stall was the salvation of the world. And the story about a child being born is true and it's wonderful. But we have to go beyond being charmed by it and be changed by it. We have to see beyond the tradition and be transformed. We have to go beyond the admiration of a child to the adoration of the Saviour. We don't really understand Christmas until we find ourselves on our knees in worship. If Christmas was only a baby being born, there is the temporary joy of a new birth. But if it was God coming into the world, then it's an everlasting joy that doesn't fade with the passing of time. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. This then is truly good news. It's real hope, and life can be eternally different. The prophets claimed that a child would be born to save the world. They said he would bear the stamp and very image of God. They called him Emmanuel, which is God with us. Only God is to be worshipped. But even as an infant, Jesus was worshipped. The shepherds came and they worshipped. Angels from heaven had told them of the child who had come from heaven. The wise men came, bowing and worshipping and bringing offerings to the true King to whom heaven had guided them. Throughout Christ's life, we see him accepting worship from people. We see men and women constantly kneeling before him. There was a cleansed leper in Matthew 8, the ruler of the synagogue in Matthew 9, a man whose sight was restored in John 9, and even a demon possessed man in Mark 5. The other people of the Bible would never accept someone worshipping them. Paul and Barnabas were in the region of Galatia, and Paul healed a man by the power of God, a man who everyone knew had been lame from birth. And when the people saw that Paul had done, they shouted, "The gods have come down to us in human form." And they began to offer sacrifices to Paul. But Paul tore his clothes in anguish and rushed out into the crowd and stopped them, saying, "Men, why are you doing this? We are only men." That's in Acts 14. But Jesus never refused worship. The night Jesus walked on the water through the storm and got into the boat of the disciples, they fell at his feet, worshipping him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And Jesus accepted their worship. At the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the women who had gone to the tomb. When they recognized him, they held his feet and worshipped him. At the ascension, as Jesus was being taken to heaven, he allowed the disciples to worship him. Now the point is that either Jesus had a tremendous ego, although it was indeed God, who was not only worthy of worship, but should be worshipped by his creation. Jesus was more than a child, but we need to allow him to come out of the cradle. But neither was he just a great man. He was God, and only God deserves worship. He is indeed worthy of our worship and praise, for he is the God who came to earth and paid the ultimate sacrifice that our sin might be forgiven. But the second point is that we need to grow up in our faith so that we can understand how God works. When we come to God, we have to understand that he is like no other and he is beyond our control. Now we can fight God or we can surrender to God. But when we fight with God, we always lose. When we surrender to God, we always end up the winner. We can demand that God do things our way, or we can accept his way, knowing that Jesus Christ can even redeem our suffering. But if we're going to understand God, we can't stay at the childish place in our faith. We must grow up in our understanding of how God works. In Jude chapter 1, we're told, that you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. The third point is that we need to grow up in our faith so that we know what God requires. If Christ is going to come out of the cradle and into your life, then you have to understand that God does not merely ask for a polite nod on Sundays. His demands are total. He doesn't ask for a place in your life. He asks for your entire life. However, in our culture, we're doing our best to exclude him from as much of our world as we can. Once again this year, the politically correct brigade are trying to get all signs and symbols of religious significance removed from the public and government buildings. So, in many public places, the manger is once again missing this season. But I'm pleased to note that in 2015, Ofsted said that nativity plays should be encouraged in schools. And recently, a government department has said that Christianity is the faith of Britain and should be freely celebrated, and local authorities should not discourage or ban Christian celebrations. At the time of Jesus' birth, there was no room for him in the inn. Today, we wouldn't even allow him in the stable. The pagans want our holiday without accepting that it's a holy day. They want the cuteness of Christmas without the Christ of Christmas. They want the baby, but not the king. They love the gifts of men, but they reject the gift of God. They'll accept the tinsel, but not the truth. They want the wonder of the season without the worship of the Saviour. It's politically incorrect these days to say Merry Christmas, so we say Season's Greetings or Happy Holiday. It seems that the Grinch really has stolen Christmas, and we don't know the who that this holiday is about. Christ has become the ghost of Christmas past. But God requires that we not only understand whose holiday it is, but we also allow the King who was born to be King to be the King of our lives. When Jesus came, he laid claim to the world and laid claim to our lives as well. And we love the fact that Jesus' birth has given us a season of gift-giving, feasting and celebration. But the world has failed to recognise that it's also a season of worship. And this is a time to recognise what God has really done and who Christ really is. In many stores at this time of the year, you can see a lot of Christmas decorations without ever having the slightest clue that the season has anything to do with Christ. Many homes across the nation will celebrate Christmas without any mention or love for Christ. In others, there is still a sentimental feeling for the Madonna and the child. But for this season to mean what it's supposed to mean, we have to go beyond decorations to dedication and beyond sentiment to surrender. Surrender to the God who has chosen to come to our world. If he's not Emmanuel, then our worship is idolatry. But if he is who he claims to be, then he deserves our praise and our worship, our obedience and our everything. The world always tries to take the sacred and make it profane. It sees the humanity of Christ, but fails to accept his deity. It wants to keep Christ in the cradle. Because of that all-important fact, we somehow have to get beyond the trimmings and the traditions and get back to the truth and the reality of the season. Somehow we have to go beyond a counterfeit Christmas and get Christ out of the stable and into our hearts. We have to get him out of the cradle and onto the throne. We have to go from thinking of him as cute to thinking of him as king. Christmas is more than being charmed by a child. Its real meaning is saying yes to God. As I finish, I want to read an account by Candy Shand, an American Christian writer, which I think illustrates it quite well. She tells of her son's Christmas play at a school in California. Her son was in kindergarten and was excited about Christmas. For weeks he'd been memorising songs for the school's winter pageant, because it would have been inappropriate to call it a Christmas play. Mrs. Chand went to the dress rehearsal in the morning and sat on the floor with the other parents. Finally, the students were led into the room and each group rose at their appointed time to perform their song. Because of how conscious the school was of avoiding any mention of the real meaning of Christmas, she only expected songs about reindeer, Santa Claus, snowflakes and good cheer. But when her son's class rose to sing, she was surprised to see that their song was entitled Christmas Love. Her son Nicholas was aglow, as were his classmates, who were outfitted with fuzzy mittens, red sweaters and bright snow caps on their heads. The children in the front row held up large letters, one by one, to spell out the title of the song. And as the class sang, C is for Christmas. Sorry, can you put the first slide up, Stephen? No, I'll look at it here. Right. So, as every child held up his or her letter to complete the message, Christmas love. Everything was going smoothly until a shy little girl in the front row held her letter upside down. Instead of holding up her M, she was holding it up so it appeared to be a W. The adults smiled and the children from the other classes began to snicker, and she'd no idea why they were looking at her so intently, so she stood tall and proudly displayed her W. The teachers tried to shush the children, and the laughter continued until the last letter was raised. Then a hush came over the audience. Can you put up slide two, Stephen? And the people stared in wonder as they saw the sign which, instead of Christmas love, now read, Christ was love. And there in that moment, the Christ of Christmas made his message known. Out of the chaos and secularization of his birth, Christ the King came out of the cradle to announce the reason that he came. So have no fear. All is well, for all the unbelief in the world cannot stop the message that the God of love has come to us at Christmas, and he is our Emmanuel. That child, born in all the squalor of a dirty stable, far from home, laid in an animal's feeding trough, wrapped in rough sheets, that child was born as king. He still is king, and all that he desires is to be your king. Will you see beyond the glitz and the tinsel, beyond the presents and the feasting, and take this child from his cradle and let him live in your heart? Happy Christmas, everyone.